the Charleston Comedy Podcast.
Brandon and Sam are not real radio hosts. They're comedians. Do not attempt to understand them. Most importantly, don't take this podcast seriously. If you are, well, go back to listening to NPR. Now to your host, Brandon Lowe and Sam Canterbury.
Welcome to the Charleston Comedy Podcast, sponsored by Comedy Zone Charleston. We are in the new year, 2015, first episode for 2015, which means another year of regret, broken promises, and shattered dreams for all of you. Me, New Year's resolution. Just because I don't make promises, I don't know. I don't have the self-discipline to keep. I would never say I'm going to quit smoking cold turkey, stop watching porn, or eating bad food. I love all of them. I'm not gonna promise any of those things. I'll wait for Sam to make it in here at some point. We were on Google Hangouts. I had to mute my mic there for the in the Google Hangouts, waiting for Sam to make it into the program. Hope you guys had a fun, safe celebration bringing the new year, our New Year's episode. We worked very hard on it. It's up for your listening pleasure. You can listen to all the previous episodes on iTunes, Blog Talk, or you can even click the direct link to our show now at ComedyZoneCharleston.com. Tonight we have three great guests. First, we have Cleveland native broadcaster and touring comedian Chad Zumach. He's really making ground in the comedy scene. He's appeared recently on the Artie Lang Show. He's been on several networks. He was in broadcasting, I think, for a little while. I think he's I'm not sure if he's still doing the broadcasting thing. He was in there for 3 years. He really did well in the Cleveland market. We'll speak to him first. Second, we'll have the headliner this weekend, a finalist on America's Got Talent 2009. She's been around. She's experienced everything. Grandma Lee will be on the show. And then we'll round up the show with local talent who will open up at the Comedy Zone this weekend, Brittany McComas. Sam set that up. Sam, you make it in here, buddy?
Finally. Come on.
You just came up on the switchboard, so I brought you in. What's up, man?
Oh, yeah. Oh, not much, dude. Just trying to get everything straight up there.
That's all right. How was your birthday celebration?
Technical difficulties.
How was your birthday?
The birthday was good. Had a really, really, really good time. Went and sung drunken karaoke.
That's always fun.
So it was a good time. Oh, yeah. Yeah, there wasn't much going on downtown, though. You know, so we ended up going to this bar out somewhere, out in Cross Lanes.
Okay. Yeah, I think everybody was partied out probably from New Year's, because your birthday fell, like, literally, like, what, the following, or days after, pretty much, like, a week later. I think everybody was kind of, like, still on the hangover mode with the New Year's stuff. All right, so we are live.
Yeah, definitely.
Is there a little delay on my mic?
What?
Sam, is there a delay on my mic a little bit?
I don't really know. I think I'm having difficulties on my end. So.
Okay. All right. All right, well, we are live. You can be a live guest with us at any point in the show. Just call us at 347-308-8648. You can always email the show at charlestoncomedy@gmail.com, and you can go to our websites where we're at. You can check out all the previous episodes, like I discussed earlier, at blogtalkradio.com/charlestoncomedy, or now you can go to comedyzonecharleston.com, and there's a direct link on the front of their webpage now, which is always nice. So we can you can go over there and check that out as well. And I was gonna grab my my intro. Here we go. Get your ass up. We got a comedy show to promote. So let's promote those shows.
Get your ass to these comedy shows.
All right. This Thursday, that's tomorrow, open mic comedy night at Mojo's, hosted by Tommy Mack. It's free, open to all comedians. Hint the open mic. Get there early. Get your name on a list. The show starts at 9 o'clock. Open mics are always good to start. Comedians starting out or you're trying new material, get down there and check out Mojo's Comedy Open Mic. It's, I don't know if they're doing it every other Thursday or what, but it's usually down there. It's free. It's open to all comedians, so get down there. Show starts at 9. This weekend, Friday and Saturday at the Comedy Zone, you can see our guest and headliner, Grandma Lee, at the Comedy Zone. Friday's show is at 8, then two shows on Saturday, one at 7 and one at 9. Tickets are just $10, but you can listen and watch our Facebook for chances to win free passes, and you can visit ComedyZoneCharleston.com for more details. Sam, you going to try to make it down to Grandma Lee this weekend?
Yeah, definitely. She seems like she might be a hoot, so I'm going to try to make it down there.
Yeah, she was a finalist on the America's Got Talent in 2009. She started comedy roughly at the age of 62, I believe. She's been doing it, and now I think she should be around 80 years old now. I know she was 75 in 2009 when she did America's Got Talent. She's probably hit 80 years old. We're not going to ask about her age, but that's something that she prides herself on. I kind of want to ask a little bit about it because her old saying is, no matter what your age is, you should follow your dreams. And I want to kind of ask a little bit about that with her. Like I said, first we're going to talk with Chad Zumach, and then we're going to chat with Grandma Lee. Then we'll have Brittany McComas after that. Let's jump into what we got going on. Stuart Scott was a broadcaster for ESPN. He was one of my favorite broadcasters on their channel. I don't have very many on ESPN. I have two, and he was one of them. He died at the age of 49 Sunday due to cancer. I don't know. It kind of sucks because I got into broadcasting mostly because of a few names, and I remember Stuart Scott when I was a little kid when Michael Jordan was playing basketball, and he just made Michael Jordan was already awesome, but Stuart Scott made Michael Jordan even better. Did you watch Stuart Scott any on SportsCenter and stuff growing up as a kid, Sam?
No, I don't really get into sports.
I just didn't know if you've seen any of
his
stuff.
No, I have no idea who that is.
Okay. Well, he... He's sad because he's 49 years old. He has two daughters. That's the sad thing about it was he prided himself on being a good father. He had good values. So that's just something I kind of wanted to mention since I am in broadcasting professionally. I didn't know him personally, but his speech at the ESPYs was awesome. If you get a chance, if you haven't seen it, anybody listening to this, go YouTube his speech at the ESPYs. That was something that was pretty touching and very sad because cancer isn't a fun thing to talk about or experience. My grandpa died last year with cancer. It was 2 years ago now. So it's not something to experience. It's not fun to deal with, but hopefully his family's doing well. And I know this is a comedy show, but I just wanted to touch up on that because he's a broadcaster and, I'm a broadcaster, so... Anyway, let's jump over to the next thing. There's something that you shared, Sam. It was called, Is Social Media Ruining Comedy? It was a New Yorker article. I read a little bit through it. Did you read the entire article?
No, I shared it so that I could read it because I didn't have time to read it at the time, and then I forgot it. I had my own views before I was even going to read it, which is why I shared it, because it asked that question. And most of the time, if I share anything, it's either to, like, stir the pot and, like, get people, like, pissed off enough that they'll defriend me, because I don't want to be friends with you anyway if you're going to get offended at what I say. But, sometimes, I just do it just to make people think. And, I kind of wanted to see what some of my friends had to say, but it didn't seem like anybody wanted to expound their knowledge, so...
Well, it's funny because I was listening to another comedian's podcast, and they were talking about how social media was indeed ruining comedy. I think our guest is already on the phone, so maybe we can bring him on a conversation. Mr. Chad Zumach, you on the phone?
Yay, we did it!
What's up, man?
How you doing, man? This is the biggest highlight of my life. Thanks for having me.
Hey, man, no problem. How you doing tonight?
I'm doing fantastic. I'm up here in Cleveland, Ohio, where it's cold, it's snowing, I'm miserable, I hate my life. I'm sitting in a house of my comedian friend Joe Howard's, and I'm calling into a podcast in Charleston. Life sucks.
Hey, man, you know, it could be worse, but I, at the same time, I could say the Cavs are winning, but then that would be also another lie.
It's brutal. I mean, he got all this hype. LeBron James is coming home. We're the focus of the sports world. We have Johnny Manziel, and it's all been a disaster. LeBron gets off HGH, falls apart. Johnny Manziel is just a Kardashian. Terrible. I'm moving to Charleston. I was just there.
Yeah, I heard or I saw that on the Comedy Zone. You came in December. I didn't know you came up here. They didn't tell me you were coming up. I would have had you on earlier.
Oh, yeah. Well, they like to put me under the radar, you know. I kind of just come into Charleston, I get out. Nobody knows I'm there. It's perfect for a comedian. Like,
yeah,
you don't want to like promote yourself.
Well, you got to stand out with your sweater vest in Charleston, right?
Yeah. I noticed my nickname that weekend in Charleston was "Hey Queer."
When I lived in Columbus for about 5 years. Probably one of the worst moments of my life. But when I, because I'm not a big city dude. Like, I enjoyed Ohio. There was a lot more to do there. That was something that I had the Ohio style. It was like, because you came back to West Virginia, and I had like a DC like skater shirt with a V-neck with a jacket, and they're like, "What are you, a faggot?" Like, as soon as I went to the first bar, it was just like I got faggot like 4 times.
Oh, that was your nickname, faggot?
Yeah, mine was faggot. So mine was a little worse. So.
Yeah, you know what the thing about Ohio, like, I'm from Ohio, obviously. I went to Kent State University. So I noticed something about Ohio State fans, and I always got a lot of backlash. I'm not an Ohio State fan. I never have been. And the reason why is because I went to another university. But for some reason, you have to adopt Ohio State as your home team. The reason why I don't like Ohio State are the fans. They're obnoxious as hell.
They're horrible.
I'm not saying I'm a Michigan fan. They're terrible, they're obnoxious. They're not good sports. And I've almost got beat up by an Ohio State fan for the same reason, because I was wearing blue and he's calling me like all kinds of names.
Yeah, I when I lived in Columbus, I would obviously wear my WVU stuff, and I had my WVU jersey on, and I was going to Kroger's to get some beer, and I walked in the aisle, and this guy saw me, I don't know, from like a mile away, was like, "Michigan sucks!" Like, just screamed it across Kroger. I'm like, "Bro, it's WVU. Like, take it easy." So, I mean,
yeah,
it's terrible.
They're going to take the time to actually look. Did you see the blue and the yellow? And they're like, "Oh, you suck!"
All right, I was going to ask you, since you are a Cleveland guy, describe
Johnny. Find me, by the way? Hey, before you go for any. How in the hell did you find me? I'm just curious. I thought it was just because I was just in Charleston.
I actually saw you. I saw a clip of you on Artie Lang's show, because I'm an Artie Lang guy.
Okay.
So I saw that, and I like to stalk talent, and I bring them on my podcast if they're willing, and you're willing. So here you are today.
Well, you know, you also got to get a comedian named Joe Howard out of Cleveland. He's one of the funniest guys you'll ever hear. He opens for Jim Florentine. He's open for Artie. His name's Ghetto Joe Howard on Twitter, at Ghetto Joe Howard, if you ever need a guest. He's a funny guy that likes to break it down.
Sure. I'll contact him to send him our information, or just pass it along, and I'll have him on anytime he wants.
Awesome.
I was going to ask you, you already described Johnny Manziel, I think, in one word. What's the one word you would pick if you were thinking of Johnny Manziel?
Kardashian.
There you go.
The guy's a celebrity. I think he's more interested in being a celebrity than a good quarterback. And listen, I root for the Browns. I want anyone to do well at that position. I mean, the quarterback position is haunted here in Cleveland since 2009. I forgot. We've had, like, I don't know, 28 different quarterbacks starting each season. And when I saw Johnny start at the end of the year, you could just tell that guy is he's too small. He used to get away with so much in college that you can't get away with in the NFL. I mean, the guy – he's not built for the NFL quarterback position, and the way he carries himself off the field, his career is going to be one and done. He's the next Tim Tebow. without the success.
Without the playoff win. He's not even going to have a play. He's not even going to have a – have you guys even won a game with Johnny Manziel yet? Have you guys won one game yet?
Well, Johnny got hurt. Johnny got hurt after his second start. And,
oh, yeah.
And that's right. It was such a bummer to the season. But, you know, you could always make the case that we didn't have our all-pro center starting. We had some pieces that weren't there, like Josh Gordon, who won't be at Brown next year.
Josh Gordon, who was high. He was too high to go out.
You got Josh Gordon, who's a complete mess. You got Johnny Manziel, who can't stop partying. The Cleveland Cavaliers, they trade for J.R. Reed, who's just a locker room cancer and just loves the nightlife. I mean, Cleveland is just – we're just a bunch of dysfunctional idiots.
Yeah. I was listening to Colin Cowherd, I think it was yesterday, and he said Cleveland has two seasons. They have winter and construction. And he also he went on to say Cleveland's like that guy looking for that. I think he said that big money winner. Like it's just that thing they'll never win. It's just they'll just settle for anybody that seems like the answer just to try to get to the Super Bowl, but it just never works out because they just put all their chips in one guy. And
absolutely.
I think there's so much truth in that. I think that's their problem is they waste draft picks on these frat boys and just buffoons. Really, I mean, there's no denying it. Brandon Whedon was a horrible draft pick the year before that.
That was all Mike Holmgren. Mike Holmgren took this whole franchise for a ride. He came in with under the ownership of the Dolans, who are just complete idiots. He inherited the team from his rich father and didn't know what the hell he was doing. And Holmgren stole money from us, and they created a position called team president. And the guy was just here on a payday. I've actually got to talk to Mike Holmgren and hang out with the guy. The guy was in Cleveland. Honestly, he was barely in Berea. He was always at a Cleveland restaurant or a bar. That guy was just collecting paychecks. And Brandon Whedon, I think, was just a sick joke. He's like, wouldn't it be hilarious if we drafted a 30-year-old quarterback? Yeah. Let's do it.
The guy was 28 as a sophomore at Oklahoma State.
Holmgren could have picked up his checks with a ski mask and a gun.
All right, well, let's jump over to your comedy side. You've done comedy since what, 2004, roughly? I believe that was what your thing
yeah,
said.
I 2004. Ballpark 2004. I was before that. I was like in sketch comedy, and I had a little comedy troupe with my friends, and I moved to Los Angeles for a girl, and she broke up with me as soon as I got there, and I was just like, oh, what the hell am I gonna do? So what I would do is I'd go to the Hollywood Improv over there on Melrose and just get wasted. And I'd sit there, I'd see like Chris Rock, Dave Chappelle, Dane Cook at the time before, he was doing his big MySpace thing. And
yeah.
I mean, you just see all these great comedians, Jim Norton, anybody hitting the stage. And I was just like, I want to do that. And I started going to open mics after that nonstop because it was a way to escape the pain of your ex-girlfriend and to get acclimated and get to know people. And I just kind of fell in love with it from there. And now
Did you ever talk to any of those guys? Like, did you meet some of them, hang out with them? What were some of the cool guys like Jim Norton, Dave Chappelle and those guys? Did you ever kind of sit down and pick their brains a little bit?
Absolutely. The cool thing is when you're living in LA, like you're kind of, I got lucky. Okay. It was two things. I got very lucky early on, but it was also very detrimental to my career. I happened to meet the right people. Except I didn't really have an act, but I was in the scene, so I had a lot of like high profile friends, and anytime I would do like a showcase or something, I would do well, but I didn't. I probably only barely had 5 minutes, and there's not a lot. There's a lot of crap comics out in LA, a lot of act outs. It's a different type of stand up, and everybody had a shtick or whatever.
Right.
But I got lucky very quick. Like Sarah Silverman took me to open for her once. I opened for a lot of like, bigger names. I opened for Daniel Tosh before he became the mighty Tosh.0 for a long time. But I just didn't have the act. So one of the reasons why I moved back to the Midwest was because I knew I had to get good. And you can't get good in L.A., and I never wanted to be exposed. So I came home to work on it, and and now I'm barely a feature. It's great.
How do you get people in the Midwest to laugh? I've always – their personalities – I mean, there's some that are like – I guess – Ohio always to me has always been so serious. I mean, I guess I'm judging Columbus off this, but people are just so damn serious in Ohio. There's so many angry people in Ohio.
Yeah, well, first of all, we're pissed we live in Ohio. That's one of the reasons. But Cleveland's actually not a bad comedy scene. It's a lot different from Columbus. I don't understand why Columbus is so bad, considering, you know, they have the Funny Bone down there, and Dave Shroop, who's, you know, he pretty much books every improv and Funny Bone throughout the U.S. It's kind of like the heartland, his headquarters. But yet, this comedy scene in Columbus isn't that great. There's some good comedians that are down there, but all of them kind of move away. But Cleveland got a pretty decent scene. There's a lot of good guys out of this area. Jason Lawhead, who opens for Bill Burr on the road. He's a real funny comic.
That's
from Cleveland.
Favorite.
He just moved to L.A. Ryan Dalton, he's been on Comedy Central. He's a great comic. Like the guy I was talking about before, Joe Howard. He's another.
Right.
There's a lot of good comics out of Cleveland, Ohio. And you got to think about the bigger names that came out of Cleveland. You got Drew Carey. You got Steve Harvey. You got Arsenio Hall.
Yeah.
Tammy Pescatelli. John Caparulo. I mean, the list goes on and on.
You know, Steve Harvey was actually, he was grew up in West Virginia. So we kind of got. Yeah, we can actually claim both of those. You can claim them for the comedy, and I can claim them for the fact that he grew up here. So it's always
a
cool
Steve
thing.
Steve Harvey with you guys.
There you go.
Steve Harvey. How about that?
Sam, my co-host, is on the line with me as well. Sam, do you have any questions for Chad?
No,
he's kind of
delayed. Not really. You guys just like start on the sports, and I zone out. That's how it always is. It turns into a sports podcast there for about 10 minutes, and then I zone. But, no, man, like, I'm from Ohio, and like, I didn't really get started into the scene until I moved here to Charleston. But that it always amazes me when people say that, you know, like, Cleveland is really good, but then not Columbus. Because, like, I lived in Columbus for a while, and like you said, I mean, there's, you know, you have the Shadowbox Cabaret, you have the Funny Bone, and a lot of great talent that comes through there, but... As far as, like, the open mics and stuff, like, I never really got exposed to a whole lot of it when I lived there.
But. Yeah, from what I hear, you can't really grow in Columbus. I mean, there's just not – and it doesn't make any sense, like I said before, because you got the Funny Bone down there and the guy who books all the improvs and Funny Bones from there. You would think there would be a little bit more of a scene with more venues, like satellite venues. But for some reason, I don't know why. I don't know why that's the case. There, like I said, there are good comics that come out of Columbus, but I do think Cleveland has a decent scene.
I like to ask comedians this, especially comedians that have been pretty much everywhere in the country. What's the worst experience you've had on stage?
The worst experience I've ever had on stage? I could tell you the worst situation I've ever been in after a show.
Sure.
I was in Columbia, Missouri at a comedy club called Deja Vu, which is still there. I was there with a comedian named Ben Glebe, who's been on Chelsea Lately and a bunch of other shows. He has his own show on the Game Show Network. It was after a show that neither one of us did well at. Some girl comes up to me and like, oh my God, you're so funny and all this stuff. And, you know, she was a cute girl, nothing... You know, I was just kind of being nice like I do to everybody after shows. And all of a sudden this guy comes walking up, drunk as hell, just swings back and punches me right in the face. I have a black eye. I mean, it was like swollen shut. It looked like the Octomom's vagina.
So apparently this was his girlfriend or somebody he thought he was going to take home. And here she is talking up the guy with the sweater vest who was very funny on stage. And he apparently didn't like that very much. So he comes out and just punches you in the face. He didn't say one word. He just punched you in the face.
Didn't say one word. Just pulled his arm back and punched me right across the face. And I have a very punchable face, as it is. But I have the look of a Cobra Kai.
I can see that.
30 years later, karma caught up with him. I have a weird... But the fact that he punched me... Like, he didn't even know, like, what was going on. He just seemed jealous from what you said. He thought I was hitting on this girl, but I wasn't.
Yeah.
And I didn't even fight back. I just bent over and screamed and go, why'd you do that? And they threw him out. Because I'm not a very good fighter. I'm kind of a pussy. So I had to drive back from Missouri to Cleveland, which is like a 9-hour drive with my eyes swollen shut. It was like one of the worst experiences. And I remember saying to myself, I'm like, I'm done. I'm not doing this. This profession fucking stinks.
And there's no health insurance, so you just got to go and pay out of pocket or just put some meat or something on it out of the freezer.
Yeah,
go Rocky
I
on
had
it.
I had a bag of peas on my face driving through St. Louis. It was a horrible experience. So if anyone listens to this podcast, if you're looking to get a stand-up comedy, don't do it. Do something with your life. Move on.
Has it happened often? Because looking through your Facebook profile, it seems like you're always getting pictures with beautiful ladies. So have you been punched in the face more than once?
I've been in some fights. I've taken a couple fists to the face, but...
You got called out, Chad. You got called out.
I did. But I didn't get into stand-up comedy to fight. I mean, that wasn't the end game.
All right. Well, we'll let you go, man. We appreciate the time. Do you have a Twitter and all that stuff, website you want to plug before you get off?
Yeah. I mean, you can check out all my dates at the ChadZumok.com, ZUMOCK. And I have my Twitter, it's at Chad Zumok. I'm on Instagram and all that other stuff. I got a CD online called Adventures in Argyle, which you can get on iTunes. And I have a podcast. I'm actually revamping it. It's called the Sit Down Zumok Podcast, which you can subscribe to. You know, as of yours, it's free. It's just out there. And thanks so much for having me. And hopefully we can speak again. Maybe you guys can come on my podcast down the road.
Sure, man. We would love to do that.
Awesome, brother. Well, have a great night.
Most definitely.
And we'll talk soon.
All right, man. Be in touch.
All right. Have a good night.
Bye-bye.
All right, later. All right, so Chad Zumok on the program. He's pretty funny, dude. You like him? You didn't like him? You didn't like Chad?
No, there wasn't a dislike at all. It was just,
Ooh, this man! Ooh. All right.
Oh, my God. That is,
all right.
I don't know. Like I said, like you guys turned into a sports podcaster for a second, so I just zoned out.
I should have warned you because he's been in sports radio. You should have knew that when I introduced him and talked about him because he's been in sports radio.
I did. I called
it. Yeah, he was in sports radio for like 3 years, I think, or something like that. And if a Cleveland guy, I got to give him hell too. I have a lot of Cleveland friends when I lived in Columbus, and you know, the Browns were always stunk. The Indians always choked. And then the Cavs were garbage until LeBron appeared out of nowhere. And, so I had to go to Cleveland because even though their teams aren't that great and they choke a lot, their fans love their teams. Like they, no matter what happens, they love their teams. Like they can lose every single game and you could get an argument with a Browns fan that they're going to make the playoffs no matter what. They support their teams. They're unrealistic at times, but you got to respect the Cleveland fans because they've been through hell and back. I mean, there's literally a YouTube video of all the times Cleveland has lost and choked. That's how you know that your teams are
right,
horrible.
Yeah, I've seen it.
Yeah, it's like 4 minutes long too. We're not talking 30 seconds. We're talking 4 minutes of footage of just choke after choke, and it's multiple sports. The only sport it doesn't have in there is tennis, and it's because Cleveland can't play tennis because it's fucking cold. And speaking of cold, it's cold as hell today. Have you enjoyed the cold weather today? It's fantastic, right?
No, I stayed inside. I was actually kind of glad you canceled because I went out to warm up the truck, and you're like, I stayed inside all day today. I haven't been out.
I didn't cancel anything. I didn't cancel anything. I had obligations. I had to be here. My son can't stay in school, so I had to be at home today. And I didn't cancel.
Obviously.
Yeah, I didn't cancel. I got you still. I got you. I got your birthday. Wherever you want to go, we'll go there.
I think we'll be right back after this next commercial break.
They say laughter is the best medicine. The Comedy Zone at Holiday Inn and Suites in South Charleston delivers two of the nation's best comedians every Friday and Saturday night with side-splitting hilarity, a full bar and dinner menu. One show Friday at 8 or two shows on Saturday at 7 and 9. Tickets just $10. Enjoy a night out at the Comedy Zone at Holiday Inn and Suites in South Charleston. For upcoming events and show information, check out the Charleston Comedy Podcast or visit ComedyZoneCharleston.com.
All right, well, that was a break. Apparently, Sam got tired of me talking, so fuck me. So call in at 347-308-8648. We still have plenty of stuff to do here on the program. Actually, we were supposed to take a break after the interview, so you actually nailed it. Did you read your show prep, apparently, I guess?
Yeah, because I was looking on the show prep, and I didn't see anywhere in there where it said talk about sports, so... I was like, all right, we got to move this right along.
Fuck you. All right. Grandma Lee should be calling in soon. That's her right now. So let's get to Grandma Lee. Grandma Lee, how you doing tonight?
I'm good. Are you Brandon?
Yeah, I'm Brandon. This is the Charleston Comedy Podcast. Thanks for coming on the show.
Oh, no problem.
What are you up to tonight?
I'm just watching, laying here watching... American Horror Story.
American Horror Story. I could never get into that
Ooh.
Show.
It's good.
That's a good show. I like it.
It really is.
I mean,
it hadn't been on for a couple of weeks for the holidays, but it's, you know.
Are you excited?
I'm excited about coming to...
Yeah, are you excited about coming up to Charleston?
Yeah, I'm going to freeze my butt off.
It's a whopping, I think, 5 degrees today.
Oh, so, God.
So enjoy your time here.
I love Charleston. I really do. I've been there a bunch of times. I love Charleston.
What do you like to do when you come up to Charleston? I know we asked Jody Kearns and a couple of people when they come up here.
What do I do?
Yeah, what do you do when you come up here? You hit the track or something? What do you do for fun when you come up here?
Have they got slot machines?
Yes,
they do. Yes, they do. I play them the ones in the hotel and look around for good places to eat.
There you go. You a drinker?
I'm a little toddy up for the body. Yeah, I like to. I'm not a drunk, but I like to drink, yes.
Okay. All right, just making sure. I didn't know if you get it. We've ran into some comedians coming to town, like Monty Allen, and Monty Allen's a hoot. I don't know if you've ever met Monty Allen, but...
Oh, I've met Monty Allen. Oh, yes.
He's definitely likes his alcohol, and he took Sam out on a date to a gay club here in Charleston.
Oh God!
It was weird. The
when
story
was. When was he there? When was he there?
Monty came up. When was that, Sam? Monty came up.
October?
What was that? Yeah, it was like October.
Like probably.
Are we talking about the
October.
Are we talking about the guy that talks about having sex with a catfish?
Possibly could be. I don't think any there's any
I
other
think,
Monty
I
that talks.
So.
He's kind of tall with dark hair.
He's got a goatee.
No, he's actually he's kind of short. He's kind of a biker looking guy.
Yeah.
Hmm.
He's a little sawed off. He's short. He's probably about 5 foot.
Oh, I know who he is.
Monty sent me a text actually. I think it was around Christmas or Thanksgiving, and he said happy. Turkey Day, and it was a turkey's face, but the body was a scrotum. That was lovely to see on Thanksgiving. That's the type of guy Monty is. So.
My daughter sent me a picture on Facebook. I want you to be the first to know it's an ultrasound and it's a turkey.
What? What is it you
my
said?
My daughter sent me a text saying I want you to be the first to know. It's an ultrasound, but instead of a baby, it's a turkey.
Oh, okay.
You seen that one yet?
No, I haven't. I have not seen that.
True.
That's awesome.
Yes, a turkey is stupid.
You were on. You were a finalist on America's Got Talent in what 2009? And,
yes.
I want to ask you about your experience on the show, but I also want you to describe your burning love for Pierce Morgan. Because I noticed that you had, like, a really big crush on Pierce Morgan.
He was hot. Nobody liked him, but I loved him. you know what? I liked him because he was honest.
Right.
He didn't bullshit.
So
he's like,
was it
Simon Cowell?
Yeah, was it the accent that got you, or was it just the straight honesty?
Combination. It's accent. I love English accent. Oh, I had a great time on that show. That show was awesome.
And you were a finalist. Like you made it all the way through. Because we had Derek Santos on. I think it was a couple weeks back, and I can't remember what round he made it on. But you were an actual finalist, which is actually a really big deal.
I was a finalist.
Yeah, I mean that we had Landau Eugene Murphy Jr. to claim here for our America's Got Talent winner. I remember watching him.
Singing. Oh yeah, that's right. America's Got Talent. He sang.
Yeah. I mean, he sang. He was he did the Sinatra stuff. That's who West Virginia can claim as our claim to fame for America's Got Talent. He did the Sinatra Vegas stuff. I think he has a show still.
Oh yeah, he was the one that was kind of a bum, and then he cleaned up and was real good.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. He was good. He was good.
Yeah. From Logan, West Virginia.
I was on Last Comic Standing too.
Oh, you were.
In 2004.
2004. Okay.
Yeah. What happened there? I auditioned in Tampa. That was the last audition.
Right.
And I made the cut. And we performed that night, and but they had promised it to Jim Norton.
Oh.
So
okay.
They had one thing, but I came in second for that. So I said, well, that's cool. But they showed it on TV a lot. And then about a month later, I got a call from the show saying they wanted to fly me out there to be in the finals.
Wow.
So I was never in competition, but I performed in the finals.
That's awesome.
And then they quit doing it. The show ended. It started up again later, but it ended. And they picked the 10 best one-liners, 10 best jokes. And mine was number 7, so that was pretty cool.
Yeah, that's pretty neat. We have two comedians that are, I'm not supposed to say anything, but they said, well, he said it on our show. Who was it that broke the news that they were going to be on America's, or The Last Comic Standing? Sam?
You heard what happened there. You heard what happened to that show, right?
No.
Well, it quit. After Jay Moore and them got done with it, they quit. Then a few years later, they started back up with Greg Giraldo or somebody.
Yeah.
And then he died.
Right.
And then last year, they had Comics by Invitation Only. And this year, they had Comics by Invitation Only. And Julie Scoggins, she got picked.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then,
yeah,
they canceled the show.
Oh, they canceled it?
Yeah.
Oh,
they called
man.
Her one day and said, you made that, you got it. And she was thrilled. And a couple days later, they called and said, sorry, they canceled the show.
That's terrible.
I said, what a blow.
That was horrible.
She's the only one I know that got picked. A bunch of them went out for it, but she's the only one.
Terrible.
I thought Dale Jones would get picked, but he didn't.
Well, what is that guy that came? Who came last week that said he made it too? The guy that juggles and stuff.
I don't remember. He was the guy that was right before our Christmas special.
I don't remember him because he was not really rememberable. And he was kind of I'm not trying to talk him down, but he was kind of full of himself. I can't remember what his name was, but he said he made it as well.
I believe half of that.
Yeah, I mean he said he made it. Yeah, and then Julie Scoggins made. I mean, I guess everybody made it, and then they canceled the show.
No, everybody can't.
Terrible.
That's
terrible.
Julie made it. Julie's not a liar.
Yeah, Julie's great. We had her on the show, and she wouldn't tell me. I bothered her for weeks, asking her if she made it or not, and he broke the news. The guy that was on our show, and then I messaged her on Facebook, and she said, "Just don't tell anybody." I didn't know they canceled the show, though. That's terrible.
Yeah, they did. Who was the guy that what was that guy's name that juggled? Do you remember?
Kevin Lee. That's his name.
Oh, yeah. I don't know. I don't know him.
Yeah, he. I guess he's from. I don't know what area he's from. I guess he's from Charlotte too. I guess I don't. I mean, I don't. He was different. I mean, his act is kind of like magic with juggling, and then he's a comedian. Sam didn't really care much for him. Sam, you saw him live, didn't you? Didn't you go see him?
Yeah, it was just I felt like it was all honestly like the stage was just too small for his act.
Oh yeah, well.
Yeah, and a lot of his magic, like, you know, he should have had a bigger stage for what he was trying to do. But I mean, if you've been to the Comedy Zone, like, you know how small a stage is, and like, especially if you're performing, like, you're up there and you're very limited on, like, especially if you're a pacer, like, you're very limited on your space that you can go. But and that's what he was. He was a very animated person, and you could tell that he was restricted. So it was kind of, I think it affected the show a little bit, but
probably did. But I'm glad about Julie. I'm so glad Julie. I'm just so sorry they canceled it.
Yeah, that's terrible.
Who knows? They might start up again. You never know.
Yeah, and then maybe they'll obviously have to honor the last group of people they took, and then maybe somebody will grab it. We're speaking with Grandma Lee. She'll be at the Comedy Zone this weekend. She's headlining up there. One show, of course, on Friday at 8. Two shows on Saturday, 7 and 9. Tickets are just $10. I was going to ask you, you had a joke I saw, and this is an older joke, and I was going to ask you about your daughter coming home from college. And she told you
that's
she wasn't a virgin.
That's the joke that was number 7.
Yeah, that was.
I still use that. My daughter came home from college, and I picked her up at the airport, and she said, "Mom, I got something to tell you. I ain't a virgin anymore." I said, "I slept the crap out of her." I said, "All this money I'm paying to send your ass to college, and you still say I ain't." I still use that joke. Everybody likes that joke. That was the joke, the number 7 on the West County Sandy.
Yeah. Was that speaking from, like, real-life experience, or was that just something you wrote in? You know, some comedians will add
all
some of the experience.
All my stuff is basically true.
That's great. I like that angle. I like when comedians actually use real-life experiences, because that's the funniest stuff.
I'll tell you a funny story. I've got this thing, and this is true, true, true. I don't want to give my whole act away, but I do it like a grandson now, but when one of my boys was little, they brought me a cup of coffee one day. Just awful coffee, and he had his little army men in the coffee. And he handed it to me, and he said, "Grandma, I mean Mom, the best part of waking up is soldiers in your cup." That was one of the first jokes I ever did. My nephew called me last week and said, "Kathy Lee did that joke on her show." I said, "I had so much fun writing that."
Wow.
You know, you go to comedy clubs, people go to comedy clubs, and they hear stuff comedy does, they put it on the internet.
Right.
But Kathy, I like to punch her in the mouth. She did not write that joke. I wrote that joke.
That's awesome. So that's something we were talking about earlier in the podcast. We were there was an article that I think the New Yorker wrote. It was about social media, and it says, "Is social media ruining comedy?" Do you have any opinions on that? Maybe with people in their phones and Facebook, Instagram, YouTubes, and all that stuff about the comedy.
You know what? I joined up to YouTube and all that. I don't use it. I just use Facebook, but what gets me is people put all their shit on YouTube. But people don't care about that shit on Facebook.
Right.
I walked the dog and I took a crap. I'll be right back. Yeah, who cares?
Yeah.
You
it's kind of like, yeah, my buddy said we're all kind of children with this whole Facebook still, because we're all kind of begging for likes. We're kind of begging for attention.
You're right. Yeah. And then I have some cousins, and they got pissed off. They defriend you.
And that's supposed to make you disappear from life itself.
Oh, yeah.
I like
yeah.
people like that. I defriended you.
I defriended you. You don't defriend family, you jerk.
You're defriendable. You're gonna see them at your family reunions and Christmas. Like, I'm still here. You can't defriend
me. I'm not your friend,
but
I'm still here. I don't want to be your friend.
All right.
You defend me, I erase you.
Well, we have Grandma Lee on the Charleston Comedy Podcast. There's a saying or something you kind of said before, and I think you kind of live by this motto. It's never too late to follow your dreams, no matter how old you may be. For all the inspiring comedians listening to the podcast, what advice do you have for comedians?
Do what you want to do. Don't let anybody deter you. Don't let anybody talk you out of it.
That's good advice.
I turned 80 in May, and I'm still going strong.
That's awesome. And you started on comedy workshops. You were getting into comedy to cope with the was it the death of your husband due to cancer?
He died with cancer, and he wanted me to get a hobby.
Right.
And I was going to go volunteer to take care of the babies and the crack babies, and nobody ever called me back. So I started going to an open mic, and once I did my first set, I said, this is it.
Well, it works out. It worked out. Crack babies wasn't the gig for you. I think comedy was
the gig. I guess it wasn't. The sad thing was I'm one of four daughters. I have three sisters. One lives in Washington. She's a couple years younger than me, and the other two are a good bit older, and they both died.
Right.
And I just wish that they would have been alive, them and my husband been alive to see me when I was on TV.
Well, you never know.
You know.
Well, you never know.
You
never know. I'm not a huge religious guy, but if there is somebody up there, you could definitely a good thing. You know, he might have been watching from somewhere. You never know.
They might have. You never know. You're right.
You never know.
But I got,
all right,
you
Grandma.
Know what? I was going to say one thing. Being on that show, a lot of people contact me that I haven't heard from in years.
Oh yeah, I'm sure. It's like winning the lottery.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, you probably had like 200 cousins and brothers and sisters after
that. Yes,
I
did.
On TV.
Coming off the wall.
All right, Grandma Lee, we're gonna let you get off the phone. We'll get back to American Horror Story, and we look forward to you coming up to Charleston this weekend.
Are you gonna be at the show?
I'm gonna try to make it. Actually, I'll try to make it up there this weekend. Sam has the single life thing going, so he can go wherever he wants and pleases. I'm married with children, so I have to make plans for the kids.
You're married with children. That was a TV
show.
Yeah,
I'm the real life one.
I was going to ask you one quick question.
Sure.
The itinerary that I got from the Comedy Zone, so this is a PG show?
Is
this something new?
Our podcast or the show at Comedy
Zone?
The show. I didn't hear anything about that. I had no idea about that.
Yeah, no one's ever mentioned it to us.
Yeah.
What'd he say?
Nobody's ever mentioned it to him. So
I read it wrong.
I don't think so. I mean, they should expect what comedians are coming in, who's clean, who's a little filthy, who's kind of in between.
Well, that's just right. I'm dirty, but I'm not graphic.
Right. Well, I think you'll be all right. PG's all right. Parental guidance, right?
Yeah,
so,
yeah,
I mean,
parents are 80 and the kids are 60. It's a good show. Yeah.
All right, well, we'll let you go. We look forward to you coming up here, like I said, and you enjoy the rest of your evening.
Thanks a lot.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. So we have Grandma Lee.
Have a good night.
That was nice. All right. We got somebody else on the line. Charles Comedy Podcast. Who are you?
Hey, fuckface. How you doing?
Is this Brian? Is this Bargain here?
Yeah, buddy. What was that horseshit? Don't give me that buzzer, you fags. I don't want to hear that.
Change the zone.
I'm on to your fucking gags, you little fucking fags.
What's up, man? Oh, you muted him.
Okay, so I was like, I'm going to fucking prank call. I didn't know you're great. I had no idea.
He's muted you.
What?
Sam gave you a taste of your own medicine, bro.
Oh, you fucking fucks. I can't believe that. You know what? I'll never support live comedy ever again.
I think you deserve another one for that.
Yeah? I can't wait to headline your fucking venues and fucking whatever the fuck I'm going.
You got a tour going, though.
With all five patrons.
Damn.
I got a job at a liquor store, so I just got out, and I was like, yeah, exactly. So I did all those things, and then I smoked.
You smoked what? Did he get muted? I thought he said crack.
Well, I think we have Brittany on the show right now.
Yeah, we do. We do.
There's a lot of animosity in this room.
Well, he's that's Brian Barganier. He's a good dude. He's from Connecticut. He calls in. He's got his own show too. He's a comedian.
Yeah, I got
there.
A lot of shit going on. You don't know me.
Oh, bless the little pea picking heart.
What? You don't know me, Grandma. I love you.
She's a grandma.
I'm not Grandma, dude.
I know. I'm just talking to you like I know you. What are you doing right now?
If I could bitch slap you through this phone, I really would.
Why would you do that? You wouldn't do that to your own grandma. Why would you call me that?
Both of my grandmas are dead, man.
So are mine. That's why I meant it as an endearing quality of you.
I had dental surgery yesterday, so I'm like...
What the fuck are you even talking about then?
Great land.
I just want to plug a couple things, you guys. I'm going to be nowhere near you guys till April, and then that's...
Did you mute him again?
What?
Me. I was being a good radio.
What did you drink? Gasoline? What are they selling in Connecticut? Are you okay?
Absinthe.
Huh?
Absinthe.
Oh, okay. Well, that explains it. Danger
what?
Zone.
I just want to talk to my buddies. Love
Danger
you guys.
Zone.
Well, we appreciate you calling in, Bob. You can call in anytime you like. It's fun when you call in.
Wait, I have a question.
What?
How old is that grandma?
Grandma is gone. She's 80. She's 80.
80?
Yeah.
And she's a comedian?
Yeah, and she was on America's Got Talent. Yeah. So she's got a better resume than you yourself, buddy. She's 80.
No, she doesn't. I've done television already, so.
She started when she was 65.
Yeah?
65! She should be... I'm not going to say that. All right. I'm not going to go there.
Danger zone.
All right. I was thinking the same thing. You read my mind now, Sam. You're reading my mind.
Sweet. Hi.
All right. Anyway, awkward dead air there. So, Brittany, you're going to be at the Comedy Zone this weekend. Are you opening on Friday or Saturday?
Yes, I'm opening on Friday night.
Friday night?
Yep.
Is this your first time doing like companies, gig things, clubs, or have you done
it? This is my first time at the Comedy Zone. I've done a lot of other gigs. No.
What?
No. Is that Sam? Yeah. No, I am actually. I just got back from the UK and I did a few gigs while I was over there. I knew you were gonna do this, dude. Right.
We're gonna. It's not Sam.
I can't
Brian,
believe you guys
but,
are being
that's
so
not
unprofessional
Sam.
About it.
Oh, great. Okay. Awesome. So it's
not
Sam.
Sam.
It's the dude who's in dire need of a blowjob.
Yeah.
From
so
grandma
what are you doing right now.
Danger zone.
I think you should have been a little more enthusiastic about it. Your own plug. Like you're excited to be there at the Comedy Zone. Like, hey, motherfuckers.
I'm very excited
well,
to be at the Comedy
then.
Zone because it's my home.
I don't know, but we'll emphasize on that flavel then.
Sam, can we just book the next episode to be Brittany versus Brian? That'll just be the whole episode. And we'll just sit back and drink beer.
I'm sorry, I'm just fucking with you. I just want you to get your plates across.
I will take
that challenge. Totally. What?
Let's do it.
You don't
want
to do that. I don't want to be mean
listen,
to you. I'm sorry.
Listen, let's do it.
You can prep me. you can prep me for Clash of the Comics. I actually am doing Clash of the Comics at the Improv in Kansas City.
I don't know what that means. I don't have. I thought I was. I thought someone.
He doesn't know where he's at. Is what he's trying to say.
Yeah.
Let's
no,
do
it's just, I do things where things matter still. So I don't know what that is. Like, what do you guys?
What?
Comedy clubs. Just, what do you guys still have to do to get spots at comedy clubs? I don't know what that is.
I don't know. I have friends.
I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I'm being mean. Come on. Get your plugs. I'm sorry.
Huh?
Say what you're saying. Plug what you got to do. I don't want to fuck it up.
I hear Sam's song in the background. Perfect for this right now. Turn that shit up, Sam.
Stupid ass. I don't give a fuck. I don't give a fuck. I don't give a fuck. Bitch, I don't give a fuck about you or anything that you do. I don't give a fuck about you or anything that you do. I heard
you. Perfect timing, Sam. That's what we call perfect timing in the business. All right. All right. Well, next week,
let's
by the way,
Brittany
next yes,
let,
yes. Let Brittany
let
plug her thing.
This.
Yeah. Go ahead, Brittany.
Do what?
Yes.
Tell us.
Plug.
Tell.
What are you doing Friday? What time are you doing this? Where are you doing it? And it don't
Friday.
Up. There you go, girl.
Friday.
Go on, girl.
PM.
Get
Friday.
Your sexy voice on.
Thank you. Friday, 8 p.m. The Comedy Zone in Charleston. And then the 21st of January, I am at the Improv in Kansas City for Clash of the Comics. And,
right.
Yeah,
right.
Those are the shows that we've got lined up right now.
Now, are you going to be doing new material or some stuff that you're just polishing up and stuff on your Comedy Zone?
Some of it's new material because I got some lovely rules for the Improv. No F word, no C word, and no N word. So,
yeah, it's terrible.
Yeah, so it's like, fuck. Yeah, so I've got to clean up some stuff. So some of it's new, but
well, that
yeah.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
It's funny because Brian probably right now is talking trash. Like, I bet Sam, if you unmute him right now, he's talking trash.
So you can hear me. Yeah, what the shit is that cunt talking about? I don't want to know. Hey, what is your name, comedian lady?
Brittany.
Can I give
McCullough.
You advice? Can I give you advice?
Oh, my God, yes.
Come on, I'm not trying to be mean.
Go for it.
Just tell those nigger shit fuck cunts that, I don't know, whatever the fuck you're going to tell them. And then do that.
Danger.
Do it. Hey, Brittany.
Brian.
I
believe
in you.
Brian, you realize
thank
this
you.
Is going to be a new
somebody
promo.
Does.
This is going to be
what?
A new promo. You're going to be the star of it. This is drunken rage you just brought on this podcast. You're the
can
star
I
of our
new my offensive joke contest every, I don't know, 6 seconds?
Sure.
Wait, no. I want to be mean. Brittany, how long have you been doing comedy?
I've been doing comedy since 2010.
Okay. Why are you calling in looking for advice and plugging shit? You got it. You don't need
help. All right, we got a minute and a half
call
left.
I'm looking for advice.
Brittany,
got
you got it.
We got a minute and a half left. So,
Brittany, that sounds like your fucking personal problem. Me and Brittany are having a moment.
No, it sounds like it's your problem. Brian, thanks for coming. All right, Brittany.
Yes, I'm here.
All right, well, let's wrap up. We have to wrap up. It's about a minute left. But you'll be at the Comedy Zone Friday at 8. You'll be opening for Grandma Lee and another dude. I didn't get his name, which is terrible because I should know it. But you'll have him and Grandma Lee and you. We look forward to it. And we're going to have to get off the show, though.
Yeah, it'll be good times.
I'm sorry,
see you
Brian.
Guys then.
I'm sorry, Brian, ruined your time. Come back on.
No worries. I will definitely come back on.
All right. Have a good night.
All right. Later, guys. You too.
All right.
Bye.
Later.
Have a good
All
night.
Right. All right. So that was fun. All right, we got to wrap it up. What'd you learn on the podcast?
That you should start another podcast as well as this one, and it'd be all sports talk.
Danger Zone.
All right, that's Dan. I learned that Brian Barganier should never call in our podcast that drunk ever again. Even though it was entertaining, don't do it. Charles the Comedy Podcast. See you next week.
Peace.
Peace out, bitches.